This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Well, again, I think there are some things that, as far as coaching is concerned, that, you know, there are certain ways to approach it, and maybe I need to change my approach.
How so?
Well, like I said, it's something that I need to look at.
That was Ron Rivera on Monday. We will get more Ron Rivera today after they begin their preparations for the Green Bay Packers Sunday at Lambeau. By the way, that line's down a little bit, down to 9.5. In most spots now, I've seen opened as high as 10.5, 11 in a lot of places, down to 9.5. For whatever reason, and I'm not sure why this is now, the odds makers are in love with a couple of teams this year in terms of making sure that these lines don't get carried away. And Washington's been one of them. You know, they were sort of a shorter dog than anticipated at Buffalo. They were a shorter dog than anticipated Sunday at home against Kansas City. And that line's come down to 9.5. There are sharp bettors out there that still believe that Washington is kind of a live dog. I'm not sure why, especially this Sunday. I think Green Bay is a much more well-rounded team than the team they just faced, and they're playing them at Lambeau. 1 o'clock Sunday, right here on your flagship home, the Team 980. So you heard Ron Rivera talk about his approach. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Our guest right now is John Keim, of course, from ESPN, John_Keim on Twitter. What do you think he meant by that? What approach, what change in his approach do you think he was talking about?
That's a good question. I don't know, because if you, you know, when you listen to that, I'm the one who asked him how.
Yeah,
and so I don't know, especially because he was referencing the time where Montez Sweat doesn't line up properly. I'm like, well, how are you going to change that? Like, that's just a basic fundamental thing. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how a change in his approach does that. And does the approach mean that you discipline guys more for that stuff, you know, by and how? And do you change something with your practice routine? I don't know how that alleviates that. Now, there's some other, you know, things that you can clean up, definitely. And maybe that's just like by saying we can no longer accept that. I don't know. But then you, in terms of that, that means player benching. So you have to have guys behind them that are doing that stuff. And so I don't know exactly what that means, because he didn't really say what that means. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think yesterday in hearing your question and then the follow-up question, like, the possibilities are, you know, one, changing your approach, like, I'm going to get more involved maybe than I've been. You know, Tommy told me yesterday that he had a source tell him, I haven't mentioned this morning yet, that Del Rio's much more involved in coaching, not just the defense, but the team, than people think. I don't know if you've heard the same thing. I mean, we know that Del Rio, when Ron was sick last year, was obviously coaching the team. I don't even know what that would mean, really. I mean, so I thought maybe it means Rivera's going to get more hands-on in various areas, including the defense. I thought what you just said, it could be that he's going to start becoming a much harder ass than he's been, you know, and start limiting playing time for guys that aren't playing disciplined. You mentioned Montez Sweat. He also talked about a player jumping off sides. That was Chase Young, even though the play, even though the play was declined because they completed a pass to Tyreek Hill. Or right. I thought maybe it means that he's going to, you know, kind of cater to the player's strengths more than he has defensively. I don't know.
I don't know. And the funny thing is, like, when you look at that game the other day, and people always say that, cater to the strengths. Well, what exactly does that mean sometimes? Because when you look at some of the stuff that happened the other day,
yeah.
It wasn't necessarily – it was missed tackles. What is that? You know what I mean? Like, there were key – there were the two of the biggest mistakes. There was a couple. There was the missed tackle on the first drive. Kendall Fuller misses that. You stop and force a field goal. That drive where we just talked about the offsides, you line up correctly. You just have to line up correctly. You're forcing a field goal. So what does that mean by playing – you know what I mean? Like, so sometimes when I hear that, I'm like, well, what does that exactly mean? And, you know, then you have William Jackson got beat for a touchdown. Well, one thing he talked about was, well, he's a guy who likes to use his hands at the line. Well, he got beat because he used his hands at the line. He didn't get his hands on him, and he tried to, and he got off balance because of this, and he stumbled. Touchdown. So that's, you know what I mean? So I think, to me, there's some confusing things here. And even at the corners, like, I think Jackson is a better man corner. Kendall Fuller probably better in zone. So how do you – where are you catering? It's just – that's where some of the stuff gets confusing. And I think some of the basic fundamentals, like tackling, maybe you work more on tackling. Maybe that's the approach, because those corners missed a lot of tackles the other day, a lot, too many. And that really hurts them. They can't give up extra yards. And the Chiefs get that. You're going to have that with Tyreek Hill. But when you're in position, and I get that, sometimes you're going to shake a guy. But when you're in a position to make the tackle, you have to. And that's, like, you know, that's what good defenses do. But they miss a couple, you're going to miss a couple. But you missed way too many. And so do you change your approach to fix that? I don't know. And so there's just a lot. And I'm not trying to absolve, like, schemes and all that of blame. But I just think that some of the stuff that happened the other day is not about strengths. It's about fundamental football.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing too is John Kimes joining us here on the show. You know, it's one thing to give up a big day against that team. I mean, the expectations for even a good defensive team are that Kansas City is going to roll up yards and score some points because they're that good. But missing the, you know, you mentioned the McKinnon play on the 3rd and 4 on their second drive.
I mean,
Fuller doesn't wrap up. Then the rookie 25, St. Juice, actually grabs him and throws him forward, beyond the sticks. Catch and run where there were multiple whiffs. It should have been like a 3-yard gain turned into 13, and Jackson really had a bad day tackling.
He did.
But I want to go back to Rivera for a second, because one of the things, too, in watching, because I watched it after the fact, you were on with him live, you know, on that Zoom presser on Monday. Man, that was a totally different tone from him. There was almost a little bit of a sense of resignation in his voice in some of those answers,
like,
versus the combativeness of the previous week. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought that was true after the game, too, a little bit. And maybe, you know, again, you go back to the approach, and maybe it's one thing he's talked about. Like, they've had a lot shorter practices lately. And he even said that some of that is you're cutting out certain periods because of injuries, or you're reducing them to walkthroughs because you don't have enough guys healthy to go through all those to do what they need to do in the starters. And so, you know, maybe you do something with that. But yeah, I think I don't know. And I think, you know, the other thing is we're talking a lot about the defense, and maybe I'm sure you get to the offense in a minute, but I don't blame the defense for that game the other day.
I don't either.
You know, not at all.
I think
I actually think that, you know, when you look at what they did, I mean, the causing the turnovers, and they
well, two of them were unforced by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, only one of them was legitimately forced, and that was the Hardman fumble, which Holcomb got, you know, made a really good play on.
Right. But they got three turnovers, and so, you know, they were in position. The offense should have been in position to do a lot better, and they didn't. They couldn't move the ball against a bad NFL defense. You know, couldn't do more against a bad NFL defense. So, you know, and you look at some of those plays, there's so many wasted opportunities early in the game. But yeah, going back to that, I just wonder if there's a realization that, I mean, they're clearly not ready to compete against good teams. They're just not, because they haven't. So.
No. Yeah, I mean, look, it was not a good day for the defense. They haven't had one good day in six games, but I'm with you, and I – you know, on the blame pie chart, the offense got the majority and the biggest slice of that pie.
And I will say, like, even after rewatching the game, there are times where I'm like, the defense did a pretty good job here and here.
It's weird. I felt the same way.
Yeah, and so, which was really weird. And it's funny because I talked to somebody else yesterday about the same thing where it's like, am I wrong in seeing that? Now, I don't think they had a great game by any means, but when you look at some of the stuff that happened, again, some of it comes back to, if you tackle here, if you're onside here, and that's the stuff, again, if I'm a coach, I'm pulling my hair out. Now, again, I would never, when you're struggling this bad defensively overall, it's never just on the players. You know, there's always other things going on, but, you know, or that could be done better by coaches, by whatever, you know, but when you see some of that stuff, you're like, whether or not you like the scheme or not, you're in position to make a play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those where, like, I felt the same way, and I talked about it on Monday. I'm like, you know, it was odd, but there were moments where I thought, okay, they're actually stepping up, and they're not terrible this week. But really and truly, if Tyreek Hill doesn't drop a pass, if Mahomes doesn't do what he's done this year, like almost look disinterested and throw a ball up willy-nilly, you know, that's 10 points and probably another 40 yards of offense, maybe 14 points, who knows. And all of a sudden, instead of 13-10 at halftime, they're down 24-10 or 24-13, and they end up with 40-plus and 560 yards. And then, you know, because the third down numbers are still horrendous. They're still, and a lot of that was tackling the other day, to your point.
Yeah. No,
they gave up drives of 96 and 95 yards in the game. But again, it's the Chiefs, too, and I think that's part of why maybe we thought, you know, hey, they held the Chiefs to 10 in the first half. They held them to 31 overall.
Yeah, and I think that's where you need the offense to come through, and you know, whether it's to control the clock, but just to threaten them with points. And that's where, you know, so they're not capable of beating those teams right now. And like I said, when you talk about the resignation, to me it would be like, okay, where are you really at in this building process? Because you haven't shown that. But I do think too, if you get if you put yourself in similar positions against some other lesser offenses, you'll do much better. But can you compete? These are the teams you want to compete against when you want to get to where you want to go. And they haven't shown that at all. So, you know, and the Chargers game was closer and whatever. So that was, you know, fine.
Yeah,
that
looks the Chargers game, they were dominated. And I just think it was flukish.
Good in the red zone. And I think if there's a sense of resignation, perhaps it's that. But also, you look at the offense, like, what are you going to do? And there were, again, a lot of missed opportunities and guys who are maybe open that, you know, again, Ron Rivera talked about this the other day, where with Taylor Heinicke, sometimes staying on a guy too long, sometimes not long enough. And when you watch it in the first quarter, I see multiple examples of that. And but it's like, sometimes does it get in your head a little bit? Like, when do you do that? When do you take off? There's a gap. One time was like, well, do you take off now or do I not? I'm supposed to be safe, but can I go? So I don't know.
Well, let's talk about Taylor Heinicke. Let me just mention one last thing as we're talking to John Keim. You know, Ron's expression, that's interesting, but we're focused on the things that are important. It's the important, right, interesting thing. Like, I think the red zone defense in the Chargers thing, it would be more important rather than just interesting to focus on that Mike Williams just flat out dropped what would have been a first and goal pass, and that an incompletion was somehow ridiculously called a fumble. That score, as much as any game I've watched this year, is the most misleading of the season. They should have scored 35, that game, and Washington should have gotten beaten by major double digits in that game.
No, it was definitely misleading.
So let's talk about Taylor Heinicke. He answered the question yesterday, or Monday, excuse me, that he is not making a change, and the change would be to Kyle Allen now. But I'm going to ask you this question that I asked Brendan earlier. If Ryan Fitzpatrick were healthy and ready to go this week, do you think he'd be starting at Lambeau?
I think so. I think so. Yeah. I mean, this is that was the guy that – and it's funny because some of that comes back to some of the things that we're talking about that we'll talk about with Heinicke now. And then, you know, there are some limitations. We know that. But also just the inexperience as well. So you can't – and I'm not saying like he's going to get a ton better or anything like that. I don't know where he'll go, but in terms, you know, he has limitations plus he's inexperienced. So like Ryan Fitzpatrick is not inexperienced. So some of those things that we're talking about with Heinicke and that Rivera brought up the other day stem from still inexperience as a starter. I mean, the guy's only started what, 7 or 8 games in his career. So, you know, he's clearly not a finished product. Now, how much better he gets, I don't know. But the point is, like, some of that, and that's what they always liked with Fitzpatrick, is that experience and that certain things he knew he would know how to handle because of that experience. And sometimes it's just a getting a team out of the wrong call. Sometimes it's making, you know, getting the proper read before the snap, et cetera. So yes, I do think that he would if he were healthy, yeah.
So how much do you think his answer on Monday when he said, no, Taylor, I'm not considering a change, how much of that was public support, you know, for his starting quarterback to make sure that Taylor doesn't hear that he's, you know, on the hot seat, but that maybe behind the scenes they are either were last earlier this week or will be soon seriously considering Kyle Allen as an option?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And the things that I know about Rivera, he's not going to say things publicly about players until he gets to the boiling point, right? And we saw that last year with Dwayne Haskins. Like, he was very publicly supportive until you got to the point where it's like, I can no longer support this. And not just, I think from him, it was also because of the habits that he was seeing that pushed you over the top, right? And some other things that you saw, more so than just the play. And that's where I think with, you know, and I know like with the linebackers last year, it was a long time into the season before he really kind of threw down the hammer with them. And so he's not going to say things. He's not really going to criticize publicly a player. So I don't know how you could. And one thing that he did, there's a couple of things that he talked about with Kyle Allen that, you know, he's moving around better. Either he or Ken Zampezi was talking about he's moving around better in practice and looking more like his old self, right, coming off that ankle injury. And so I think, you know, that could play into it as well. So I don't see how you don't consider something if it goes bad again Sunday. I just don't. I mean, you know, at this point, maybe it's just swapping a guy for a guy, but maybe it's something that can give you a spark for a game or two. And maybe somebody, you know, maybe another quarterback can see things a little bit differently and process it on this play that leads to something else, right? So I can't imagine that, you know, if you have another tough game, that it's not a serious consideration just because logically, why wouldn't it be, you know?
Okay, and so do you think if he struggles and the offense struggles Sunday, that Kyle Allen's the starter in Denver?
I don't know that, but I don't see
what
how
what's
you
your
don't
guess?
I don't know, Kevin. I mean, why does the offense struggle? Is it because Heinicke just has a bad game and throws 4 picks? Is it because, you know, De'Ami Brown drops a ball or something?
Let's just say it's a game like Sunday against Kansas City where the offense in general didn't play well. None of his players helped him out, but he wasn't good either.
Well, see, here's the problem. If I say I think Allen will start, I don't want to see a headline saying Time says Allen starts. So I don't know. And I know that's how this works, right? So I know.
Really, we're going to get a headline. Kime on Sheehan's show said that Kyle Allen's going to start at Denver if Taylor doesn't play well. We're just having a conversation because I think if it's another woeful offensive performance, that Kyle Allen's going to get a shot.
Yeah, I think let's say this. I would agree with that. I think I could see that happening. Yes, yes, of course. And that's what I say. I think that based on the way the offense has gone, then yeah, it would certainly make sense, and I could see that happening.
Explain to me. Actually, real quickly, one more football question: who's going to be healthy enough to come back and play this week?
Don't know yet, and we'll find out. I mean, Antonio had the MRI the other day.
Right.
That one would concern me because it was coming off a week where he was able to do more in practice. And then he has to leave twice in that game because of the shin injury. And you wonder what else that impacts, what that injury impacts as far as the calf and all that. So that one, I don't know. And then, there's a list of them.
They could re-sign. They could sign Darius Geis. He's now available.
Yeah, that's the last couple of weeks have been long enough. Let's not go there.
All right, forget about the injuries. I want to ask you real quickly one last question before I got to let you roll and get to a break. How is it that the NFL apparently I'm assuming you read the Florio story about the 650,000 emails outside the scope of the Beth Wilkinson investigation? How is that possible?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, and that's a good question. I don't have a good answer. I agree. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that they didn't even ask Jay Gruden to interview in this investigation. I mean, maybe at some point we're going to get an investigation of the investigation.
Well, there are a lot of things that don't make sense in this whole situation, so just throw that on the list.
Yeah. Hey, Beth, in this investigation that we, the NFL, have now taken over, you're not allowed to interview Bruce Allen or Jay Gruden.
Yeah, there's just a lot that doesn't make sense. The one thing that does make sense is that certainly there are a lot of things they don't want to come out, and they're going to be protective of owners in this league.
All right,
and that's not, you know, like, it, yeah.
I lied. Back to football. I don't know if ESPN's come to you and done this, but we see all the time, the John's participation in one of these big, mid-season things and updates on the – if they come to you, if they haven't already, and they say, all right, we're doing this, mid-season or through six games or through seven games, season predictions, where is your prediction now? Where is this season headed?
Well, before the season, I thought they were a 9 or 10 win team, but that's with Fitzpatrick as a quarterback, and I assumed the defense would be a lot better than this. So I think right now you're looking at probably best case scenario, 7 wins, right? That would be the best case scenario, don't you think?
I think that's wildly optimistic. I think they're.
I think that is optimistic. That's
right
why I say that to me is a.
Yeah.
That's why I say best case scenario.
Yeah, best case, sure.
I mean, the way they're playing right now, you can't they have to have something. One thing that I wrote even earlier this week, they haven't played a good game yet. Like a complete game where you say, oh, okay, that's the team I thought I'd see. And, because the Giants game and the Falcons game, you came away from that. Part of the conversation was that, okay, they won, but my God, what's wrong with the defense? That was supposed to be the strength, and they're giving up all these third downs and all that. And so they haven't done that until they play a complete game. Just because you get to an easier part of the schedule doesn't mean you're going to change everything around. So right now, best case scenario, I would say 7 wins, but realistically, you're looking at a couple less because, Carolina's going to look at them the same way people are looking at that. Are looking at Carolina and Denver.
I did this yesterday. They're only going to be, as of now, there's maybe two games that they'll be favored in. Maybe. And that would be the Philadelphia game at home and the Giant game maybe in the finale on the road. Those are the two that they could potentially be favored in. They're going to be – anybody that thinks they're going to be a favorite at Denver next week, you don't know anything about odds making.
No.
Denver will be a solid favorite at home next week unless they lose a bunch of players in their game Thursday night.
So it's going to be difficult for them to get to that number. Based on what we're seeing right now, you know, you're certainly not going to get that number.
All right. Thanks, as always. John's up even earlier than I am, so he's always willing to come on. He'd come on right at the beginning of the show. His day's half over, like mine is at 6 a.m. All right. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
I watched a lot of film already, man. I'll talk to you later.
See ya. John Keim, John_Keim on Twitter. Want to tell you about Loan Pronto. Mortgage rates are on the move. Don't miss the chance to lock in the best rate of your lifetime with my friends at Loan Pronto. Call Loan Pronto today. Take advantage of their super popular zero-cost refi program. Many people are doing this right now. You should too. You can get a rate with an APR in the low twos with no junk fees and no closing costs. Yeah, they'll pay your closing costs even if you've refinanced in the last 6 months. Loan Pronto's all digital process is fast, it's easy, virtually no paperwork required, and most loans, they get closed in 14 days. If you act now, you can even skip your next two house payments altogether. That's a bonus. Skip your next two house payments. Wouldn't that be nice? Call Loan Pronto now. Start the process. Don't wait on rates to spike again. If your current APR is over 2.75%, 2.75%, call now for a free 30-second quote. 571-775-1810 or loanpronto.com. That's 571-775-1810 or loanpronto.com. They're an equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible. NMLS consumeraccess.org.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
The teammates responded to him very well when they were winning, obviously. But do you get a sense also of how people are responding to him in this adversity and sticking with him?
Well, without a doubt. I mean, there's no reason not to.
That was Ron Rivera on Monday. He also answered the question as to whether or not he's considering another quarterback. You'll hear that answer if you haven't already. I do want you to know that Window Nation's got their Fall is Calling sale going on right now with leaves changing. You're starting to see that. Love this time of year. God, the next couple of days are going to be beautiful. Temps are changing. Cold in the morning. Is your home ready for these changes? The cold is coming. Window Nation's here to help you with two free windows with every two you buy. There's no limit on that. You can buy four, get four free. Buy eight, get eight free. Plus, you won't pay any interest on those new windows for 24 months. That's no interest until 2023. The longer you have old drafty windows, the more money you are wasting on your energy bills. Window Nation saved customers over $40 million on their energy bills, both in winter and in summer. Not to mention the fact that new windows increase curb appeal, so you're upgrading the look of your home. You know, if you've recently purchased a home and you're cash strapped, but you want new windows, there are no worries. You don't have to pay anything on these new windows for two full years. By the time you pay your first nickel on these windows, it'll be 2023, and there would be no interest that would have accrued. Window Nation's the best. They'll give you a free estimate. They'll do it either online or they'll come out to your home. They'll follow all CDC requirements. You'll be fine. They'll give you an estimate. They're not going to be pushy. You can shop that estimate. You're not going to do better in terms of an offer, and you're certainly not going to do better in terms of the providing company. Window Nation is the fifth largest window retailer in the United States with a 97% customer satisfaction rating. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau with over 10,000 online positive reviews. They've installed 200,000 windows in the last year alone. 96% of them required no follow-up service. One of the reasons, they measure each window three times to ensure proper fit. It's not going to be one of those situations where they install the windows and you keep calling them to come back and get it right. That hasn't been my experience, nor the experience of any of my listeners that have used Window Nation, friends and family alike. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Mention my name, you'll get a free estimate. Buy two, get two free with no limit, no money down, no payments, and no interest for 24 months. That's 866-90-NATION and windownation.com. Glenn Consor is going to be our guest at 8:30 this morning. The Team 980 is your new radio home for Washington Wizards basketball. And the Wizards open up their season tonight against the Raptors. Pregame coverage starts at 7:15 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We are excited to be the home of the Wizards once again after many years of not being. And I'm looking forward to the season. We'll talk to Glenn about it in about 50 minutes. All right. So Ron Rivera said something else the other day, and he said it pretty definitively. I want you to hear it. But he was asked about the status of the quarterback position and whether or not he's considering a change.
No. I've been very confident in what we've done with Taylor. I know last week he had his moments. This week, the same thing can be said. And not every week's going to be as productive as people want it to be, as we want it to be. So we'll just have to see, and we'll see what happens going forward.
So we just talked to Keim about this. I think that Keim's right. I don't think even if they were considering it after the game Sunday, if there was a conversation between Ron and, say, Scott Turner and Ken Zampezi, and they sat down, maybe even Jack Del Rio. Again, I want to repeat, Tommy on my podcast yesterday reported that he's got a source that's told him that Jack Del Rio is much more involved in coaching the entire team, not just the defense. I asked Tommy what that meant specifically, because I don't think he's involved in the offense. But who knows what that necessarily means. But he was significantly involved, obviously, a year ago in coaching this football team when Ron was battling cancer. Back to the quarterback. We did a poll the other day after the game. The poll was simple, and it was our Window Nation poll. You can see it if you go back to the October 18th, the Monday tweet. I'll retweet it, in fact, so you can see it right at the top at Kevin Sheehan DC. Are you ready to see someone other than Taylor Heinicke at quarterback? 3,325 votes later, 60.9% said yes. 39.1% of you said no. This is only a couple of weeks after we did a poll, Brendan, in which we asked people if they just want to continue to see Taylor Heinicke, if they are, you know, I forget exactly what the poll question was now that I think about it. It was essentially a favorability rating on Taylor Heinicke. And, you know, basically, here it is, your current opinion on Taylor Heinicke from October 6th. You're all in on him now and in the future. You're still not sure, which we explained sort of meant, you know, you want to see more. And then not the answer was the other one. 55.7 said you're not sure yet, which meant you wanted to see more. And 28.7% said you're all in now and for the future. And a couple of weeks later, 60.9% say you're ready to see somebody other than Heinicke. So the opinion has changed on Heinicke here. You know, I don't think it was polarizing a couple of weeks ago. I think the significant majority wanted to see more at the very least. And now, you know, a 60-40 kind of vote, 61-39 kind of vote, you know, is hardly polarizing. But it does indicate that people have changed their minds on Heinicke after the last couple of performances. I made a declaration finally on Heinicke. Many of you were like, pick a side here. No, I wanted to see more. I've seen enough now. He's a backup quarterback in the NFL, period. But I kind of think that Kyle Allen, more likely than not, is also a backup quarterback at best in the NFL. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't available to play right now, that's the reason that you're not getting a quarterback change, in my opinion. If Ryan Fitzpatrick were available to play this week, that would be it. He'd be right back in his starting role. And there would be no debate. And I don't think anybody out there would debate it either. And I'm not suggesting that you think that it would be a lot better with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but you'd be ready to see someone else. So the phone lines are open at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The question is multifold here, because I want to get your feelings. Really, this is, where are you on Taylor Heinicke right now? That's essentially the big question. Where are you right now on Taylor Heinicke? And then the second part of the question is, when do you think that he gets benched or put back into a backup role? Will it be next week in Denver with Kyle Allen, or will it have to wait until Ryan Fitzpatrick is healthy and ready to go? So where are you right now on Taylor Heinicke? Where I am, he's a backup NFL quarterback. He's not the future, period. So if you think that Kyle Allen might be the future, which I don't, then play him. If you think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the placeholder for the next quarterback, which you're going to draft in 2022, well, then when he's healthy, put him back into the lineup and give him that starting job back. When do I think something will happen? I actually think that Taylor Heinicke better play much better on Sunday at Lambeau, and the offense better look a lot better overall. Like, they need to move the ball like they did against the Giants, like they did in Atlanta. They've got to have some results against Green Bay's defense, which is not great, but it's not as bad as Kansas City's. And they need to keep the team in the game against a quarterback and an offense that more likely than not is going to score 28-plus against this defense. And if it doesn't happen, I think Kyle Allen could be the starter either in Denver or after the bye week if Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't ready against the Buccaneers. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Where are you on Taylor Heinicke right now? And when do you think, if at all, his last appearance will be he gets benched and somebody else goes in? And tell me what you think and how that happens. I think Taylor Heinicke is definitively an NFL backup. By the way, that's saying a lot, considering he wasn't even in the league a year ago and nobody was even interested in him a year ago. I think he's got a place in this league as an NFL backup quarterback. And I think that this Sunday is his opportunity to keep the starting job for at least another week. Although I could see the change coming after the bye week if they're going to make a change. The bye week, by the way, is after the Denver game on Halloween. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our BetQL listener lines are open. You can have at it next. We'll get Brendan's answer too. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. Our BetQL listener lines are open. Go ahead and download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Bet smarter and beat the books at BetQL. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I want your current updated opinion on Taylor Heinicke. And do you think he's on the verge of losing his current starting role? My current updated declaration on Taylor Heinicke is NFL backup, not the future. I've seen enough. Let's start thinking about what's available for next year. And I do think that he's on the verge of potentially losing this starting position. If Ryan Fitzpatrick were healthy, I think he would have already lost it. And even if Ryan Fitzpatrick is out the rest of the year, if the injury ends up being more serious and more long-term, I do think that they will give Kyle Allen an opportunity as early as next week, as late as the first game after the bye week, which would be Tampa Bay. Brendan, your opinion on this is what?
I don't really think anything's changed. I saw a bunch of stories this week about how he didn't look like himself. He looked exactly how he has in every game this season.
No, he didn't.
He's not erratic. He is not accurate. He can't throw the ball deep. He's a backup quarterback. Everybody wanted to treat him like he was a rookie. He's a 28-year-old journeyman. This is who he is. He's not changing. Nothing about his game changed last week. He was still missing the same throws that he missed earlier in the season. The only thing that changed this week is that he didn't hit the low probability throws that inflated his stats. I feel like we were all watching different games. Taylor Heinicke threw a bunch of long passes in previous weeks that were incredibly low probability catches for his receivers, and they somehow came down with them. And because of that, people thought he could throw it deep. He could do things that he really can't do. He's not accurate. He can't throw the ball outside the hashes past 15 yards. And his athleticism makes him a very good backup quarterback. He's very good in short spurts. We saw that earlier in the season. He can come in. He can play competently. He can do things to help you win games in a pinch. He's not a long-term starter, and that has been my position since last offseason, since before the Tampa Bay game.
All right, what about part two? Is he on the verge of losing a job, and is Kyle Allen going to get an opportunity?
I would not give Kyle Allen an opportunity because we know what Kyle Allen is. We have a 17-game sample of what Kyle Allen is, and that's a ton of interceptions, a ton of fumbles, a ton of sacks. I am not interested in that. I can at least live with the fact that
I'm not asking if you're interested in it. Do you think we're going to get it?
Yes, because they gave up a fifth round pick for him when he was going to be released. So yes, they gave up draft capital for him. So at some point he is going to get the football.
I think we're in total agreement with one exception. Sunday was not the Taylor Heinicke that we've seen in previous weeks. It may have been similar to the Taylor Heinicke we saw in Buffalo, but he made play after play, and you're right. Some, as we pointed out from whatever site that was, he was up there in terms of interceptable balls thrown, and he got really fortunate in the Atlanta game a couple of times. But we had seen a guy making attempts to make plays with his legs as an off-schedule guy. We didn't see enough of that. And so it was a different performance, I thought,
I mean,
Sunday.
I agree with you that he didn't run enough, and it sounds like Ron Rivera doesn't think he ran enough.
It's not just that he didn't run enough. He didn't try to create enough. He didn't extend enough. He didn't give himself a chance at some of those plays he's made off schedule that have, by the way, made his numbers look pretty good.
He's not great off schedule. He's good, but his arm is not good enough to make the throws that his off schedule brain is trying to force.
But it's the way he makes big plays. Even though in the Giant game, I understand he made some throws from the pocket. I understand that for those of you that are going to point it out.
Not bad when he's in the pocket and throwing
But off
slants.
Schedule, Brendan, is when he's got much easier throws for him.
Yeah, but he's not able to make those throws.
Well, he does. He makes them more often than he makes throws from in the pocket.
He's good when he's able to take off and run. When he's taking off and trying to throw off balance. Yes, he hit that throw in Atlanta because he threw up a miracle pass and Terry McLaurin came down with it.
Not everybody thought it was a miracle,
but
it was.
You're right. All right, people didn't think it was a miracle, but it was.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. They are packed. So your current thought, your current opinion on Taylor Heinicke, and part two, do you think he's on the verge of losing his current job? Let's start with Johnny, who's calling from Loudoun County. Johnny, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin. I do agree that Taylor Heinicke is a backup quarterback, at best, quite frankly. His success is predicated on how the defense plays, because he can't play under pressure. He has a limited arm strength, so if the other offense is capable of scoring 28, 30 points, yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar that we're going to lose that game, because he is not a quarterback who will win game for you. He can manage it as far as being benched, and I expect that to happen, just like you said, after the Green Bay, perhaps Denver game. If Patrick is not coming back, and we probably will see Allen. That's my two cents. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. The funny thing is, I don't think he's a game managing quarterback in the way we all think of game managing quarterback in terms of its description. And I think that he is a guy that can come off the bench or in a pinch actually play well enough if the opponent's right, like the Giants were and like the Falcons were, where he's largely a big positive influence on the outcome of the game. By making plays, by making plays off schedule, by making plays as a runner, by making plays outside the pocket, by throwing deep balls in quick game opportunities against man coverage, like we saw with Terry McLaurin, like we saw with Ricky Seals-Jones in the Atlanta game. By the way, you know, somebody pointed out to me the other day that the touchdown throw to Ricky Seals-Jones was clearly a busted coverage from Kansas City, which is true, and then tried to really rip the actual throw itself. Look, in that situation, when a guy's that wide open, just get it to him, it's going to be a touchdown. Yes, it wasn't a perfect throw. And look, the one thing that I've been consistent on, too, is what Brendan said, and the two of us have agreed on this for a while now. He doesn't have NFL starter arm strength, and his accuracy, which many of you all crucified me for, has been inconsistent at best. All right, Sam, Drew, James, Perry, Bruce, Ellis, Rick, everybody else on hold, stay there. We'll continue this. What is your current updated thought on Taylor Heinicke, and do you think he's on the verge of losing his current starting role? 301-230-0980. We will get to Glenn Consort 8:30 to preview not only the Wizards' season, but their opener tonight at Toronto, right here on the Team 980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.